Thank you, blessing, and welcome, marvelous. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, January 26th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Civil society organizations support a move by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to adopt the use of biometric voters' roll.
The Zimbabwe Election Support Network welcomes the ZEC proposal and the ongoing engagements with international experts.
Zimbabwe identifies key white commercial farmers in an effort to revive the subdued agriculture industry.
And Education USA urges Zimbabwean students to apply for American scholarships.
We have an application which is out. Our applications are due on Friday, February 26th, and we've been distributing them to A-level schools. They can also be collected at any Education USA center.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. In what some see as a complete climb down, the government has reportedly started issuing leases to white commercial farmers. Land and Rural Resettlement Minister Douglas Mombeshora told the Sunday Mail newspaper that they have identified farmers they deem to be of, quote, strategic economic importance. About 200 white commercial farmers are believed to be still in the country following the controversial land reform program in Zimbabwe that forced most of them to leave the country. Ben Frith, a white commercial farmer and spokesman for the SADC Tribunal Rights Watch, says he is not aware of any white farmer who has benefited from this development. Frith says farmers who are engaged under this program should celebrate only if they get bankable leases.
Well, certainly we've read the reports and we have heard about this for a long time now, but at this stage there hasn't been anything that I know of anyway on the ground where a white farmer has received a lease of this nature. So we don't know at this stage whether there is some truth behind these bits of hope that are being thrown out to some white farmers. I think the big thing really is let's get back to property rights for all so that everyone knows where they stand and can go forward.
But we understand that there are some farmers who have been working quite cordially with the new farmers, and that's the reason why the government has decided to give these farmers some leases. Is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, in most cases, farmers still out there are working with the people that are around them and trying to help them. You know, obviously, you cannot farm as an island. And, you know, the people around you who are needing assistance, those farmers are helping. But, you know, at this stage, there's no bits of paper to allow those farmers to remain on their properties. And all the time, there are still people that are being thrown off properties. There are still people being criminalized for committing the crime of farming. And you know, this must stop.
How many white commercial farmers are still in Zimbabwe?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to say in Zimbabwe because most of them are sitting in town waiting to be allowed to farm. But the actual ones that are still farming, there are not too many actually on their farms. They are farming from a distance.
That was Ben Frith, SADC Tribunal Rights Watch spokesman, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Agronomist and independent political analyst Bernard Manyadza says the government's decision to recall these white farmers is a clear admission that its land redistribution program has failed.
My take is a simple one. This land reform was done haphazardly, without the proper direction, without the proper planning. It was bordering on anarchy. And the people are now realizing that they probably made a big strategic mistake in taking everybody on board, including productive land that was occupied by people who are not agriculture-oriented, let alone in trend. So it's now so embarrassing that we are going to Nicodemus to Zambia to buy for that mice, paying the same amount that the government should have been paying to the Zimbabwean farmer at the same distance to the Zambian.
But is it not too late for the government to engage these white commercial farmers?
It's better than nothing, because we are planning for the future. We still want Zimbabwe to be the breadbasket of SADC, because there's the Shambeni climate. We have a lot of trained people in Zimbabwe who can do this agricultural production far better than what we are having on the ground.
Why are the new farmers failing to produce or to utilize the land fully?
That's a very good question, John. These farmers are lacking support, is the bottom line. They have not been given any support right from the beginning, despite the fertilizers, despite the diesel and so on, that will be much talked about. These things were going to waste.
That was agronomist Bernard Manyadza speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Academically gifted students from disadvantaged families nationwide studying advanced level or A-level have been urged to apply for scholarships to study in the United States. Under Education United States Student Achievers Program or USAP. Applications are available from Education USA centers in Harare, Gweru, Bulawayo and Mutare. The deadline for application is end of February, but interested students need to complete their applications by February the 26th. Last year, 27 students from economically disadvantaged families from all over Zimbabwe were awarded scholarships worth $6 million to study in the United States under the USAP program. Education USA Country Coordinator Rebecca Ziglamano tells us this opportunity is for high achievers in the A-level final year to study at top university in the United States and should be taken up.
The USAP program is for high-achieving, low-income students in their final year of A-level. We assist them to apply for scholarships to study at universities in the United States.
When you say low income, what is the base? Like, what is considered low income?
We're considering those students who would not be able to continue after their A-level to university education because of finances in Zimbabwe or elsewhere.
What's the procedure if one feels that they can qualify? What do you base your selection on?
So we have an application which is out. Our applications are due on Friday, February 26th. And we've been distributing them to A-level schools. They can also be collected at any Education USA center in Harare at the Public Affairs section in Eastgate, at Gweru at the Gweru Memorial Library, in Bulawayo at the Bulawayo Public Library, or in Mutare at the Turner Memorial Library. And the application includes your O-level results, some essays you need to write, questions you answer, and a recommendation letter, as well as your school reports.
So for those who would like to participate, what would you urge them to do?
I would urge them to apply. You can't get into a program unless you apply for it. We're looking for the best and brightest future leaders of Zimbabwe who don't have opportunities to study overseas and expose themselves to new ideas.
That was the Education USA Country Coordinator, Rebecca Ziglamano, speaking with us from Harare.
The Zimbabwe Election Support Network and the Elections Resource Center say they support a move by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to adopt the use of a biometric voter's roll. The program is likely to be implemented with the financial and technical support of the United Nations Development Program, or UNDP. EU Ambassador to Zimbabwe Philippe Van Damme told VOA Studio 7 the EU will contribute funds to the electoral reform process through the UNDP, and a budget proposal is already being tabled by ZEC and the government. But the diplomat was quick to add that Zimbabwe is a sovereign state and it is up to government, ZEC and opposition political parties to agree on the way forward. The Electoral Resource Center says the development is critical in increasing administrative efficiency, advancing democracy in Zimbabwe, and in ensuring the restoration of public confidence in electoral processes. Biometric voting systems are highly advanced information systems that allow for the identification of millions of voters quickly and unmistakably using specific biometric identifiers such as fingerprints or the iris. ZEC insiders told Studio 7 that the United Nations is assisting the electoral body with technical support and funding. Efforts to get a comment from ZEC chairperson Rita Makarau were futile, as she said she was in a meeting. ZESNY director Rindai Chifunde Vava told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that funding must be availed to ensure the biometric voters' role is in place before the 2018 election.
The Zimbabwe Election Support Network welcomes the ZEC proposal and the ongoing engagements with international experts. And we hope that they are also going to consult widely the key stakeholders in Zimbabwe in view of the biometric voter registration. In terms of the process itself, we think that it needs to be opened widely for consultations, and that once it is implemented, there is need for openness and transparency. But we support it exactly because we believe that it allows for identification of millions of voters quickly, and also the other advantage is that it includes multiple methods of identifying voters. It is faster, it is efficient in capturing of voters' records, and it has also enhanced security and privacy of voter information, and they also improved integrity and reliability of information. It assists also in identifying and preventing duplicate voter registration, thereby eliminating the possibility of multiple voting on election day. So we really support it as long as it is done according to international standards and it is also done in an open and transparent manner.
But the problem has always been funding of ZEC by the government. Is it possible for government to have fully funded ZEC for this project by 2018?
That's also one area which we are calling upon the government to ensure that there is adequate financial support and it needs to be availed on time. Otherwise, if it is not given on time, the process might be half-backed. It might not be completed before 2018.
That was ZESNY Director Rindai Chifunde Vava speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, some opposition parties in Zimbabwe say the use of a biometric voting system in the country can eliminate electoral fraud. Our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa reports from the capital.
Douglas Monzora of the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, says the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission should be encouraged to use this system, as opposition parties have been calling for its use over the years.
The MDC has always demanded a biometric voters' registration exercise and the voters' roll. The advantages of a biometric voters' roll is that it is less open to manipulation and less susceptible to double voting.
ZEC is quoted in the Sunday Mail newspaper as saying they are exploring ways of using the system in the 2018 harmonized general elections. Monzora said if adopted, the biometric system should also be extended to the polling booths. He said the use of the biometric voting systems reduces electoral fraud and leads to the compilation of transparent voters' rolls. Monzora recommended that Zimbabwe should use the Namibian biometric voting system.
However, there are a number of types of biometric voting. We are advocating for a Namibian system of biometric voter registration and voting. The Namibian system is deemed to be more comprehensive but expensive.
Jacob Mafume, spokesperson of the People's Democratic Party, concurred, noting that this kind of voting is used in most developed nations.
Biometric voting is the way to go. It is the best international practice. As you know, people have got biometric voters in some countries have gone even to have biometric identity cards. biometric cards for civil servants and so forth.
Mafume, however, urged ZEC to continue working towards holding free and fair elections through implementing other necessary reforms.
It will remove part, you know, the voter's role is part of what we were complaining. So an election is not a one-thing event, it's a process. There are many other confidence builders. So if we deal with the biometric voter's role, so we've dealt with the voter's role, we need to deal with the atmosphere of fear. We need to deal with the atmosphere of infiltration of ZEC by security agents. We need to deal with the issue of vote buying, intimidation, and violence.
Tawanda Chimini, an election expert and director of Zimbabwe Election Resource Center, also applauded steps being taken by ZEC in exploring ways of using a biometric voter registration system in which some body parts like the iris are scanned to capture someone's identity. This system is among many components of holding transparent elections.
Biometric data, in our view, promotes the security around identification of a voter. So gone will be the days where someone can simply come and claim a vote on the basis of a name and an ID. Because as we move forward, this time around, even those conducting the election will verify the voter by looking at the person physically if pictures are adopted.
The government has over the years opposed the use of the biometric voter system. Opposition parties have complained after almost all national elections about the lack of a proper voters' roll, saying that it was fertile ground for electoral fraud. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Coming up,
fuel prices started falling in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Pope Francis has urged Iran to use its important role to promote peace in the Middle East and help halt the spread of terrorism and weapons trafficking.
Brazil is mobilizing some 200,000 military troops in its fight against the Zika-carrying mosquito, which is blamed for spreading a virus that is linked to horrific birth defects.
And the top Central African Republic court has annulled last month's legislative elections, but confirmed that two former prime ministers will face off for the presidency.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Although oil prices have gone down by more than 60% since last year, Zimbabwean motorists have hardly felt the relief as fuel prices have remained stagnant. A barrel of crude oil is trading at around $30, its lowest since the 1990s. In Zimbabwe, pump prices of petrol have remained at around $2. However, motorists say there are signs that prices are beginning to dip in Zimbabwe because of a resurgence in the oil black market. Abednego Bebe, president of the Motor Industry Employers Association, tells Studio 7 that oil prices started dropping in tandem with world markets since the beginning of the year.
Well, as you know, Zimbabwe's economy is not an economy that can be compared to the economies of other countries in the world. We are always behind in terms of reducing prices as when the prices come down go down in the world market. The reason being that in Zimbabwe, because of the economic pressures, we see most countries that they've reduced the fuel because people have now started engaging in black market, bringing fuel from Botswana, because Botswana and South Africa at least respond to the world market trend, but we hardly see the world market trend. The second thing is, as you know, in Zimbabwe, there are still companies that are international companies that are still operating fuel businesses here. Because of the competition of those big companies that are importing fuel into Zimbabwe in bulk, they find themselves competing in starting to reduce their prices to match the world market. So those are some of the reasons why you find Zimbabwe is always the last to start reducing prices of those kinds of commodities.
Roughly, how much is a liter of petrol at the moment?
Well, I'm not very much clear on the issue of the pricing of petrol per se, but I'm sure what I'm sure of is the price of diesel. Because for most of my machinery in my business and the cars that I drive, they use diesel. So in terms of diesel, I've seen a significant drop because sometime around this time last year, fuel was selling up to $135. But now we see that it has gone down up to about $1.07 per liter. I beg your pardon, I wanted to say $1.45 per liter. But now it has come down to $1.07. We have seen a significant drop in that regard.
Is the drop in the price of fuel also in tandem with other goods and services?
Well, as you know, Zimbabwe has got a very funny economy, the economy that is not performing where everyone does what is best for him to make profit. We have seen that it is not a trend that when the fuel price goes down and the other prices of other commodities, they go down. We have seen our prices of commodities, you know, going down in terms of competition of the market. If market now is shrinking, there is always a serious problem of people trying to reduce prices so that they can actually match the demand. So it's not all about the issue of fuel and fuel comes down and prices of commodities to come down. It is a matter of the market forces in terms of demand.
That was Abednego Bebe, president of the Motor Traders Association. He spoke to Studio 7's Chris Gande from Ulawayo.
The director of Say What, Jimmy Wolford, a student sexual and reproductive health organization, says calls by a Bulawayo High Court judge for a national sex offender register can be implemented, but Zimbabwe should get tough on sentencing for sexual offenses. Wolford was reacting to Bulawayo Judge Justice Martin Makonese's statement in which he called for the setting up of a register to ensure the tracking of offenders found guilty of sexual offenses against children and mental patients. The register would be similar to what is used in countries such as South Africa and the United States, which requires offenders guilty of sexual crimes against children and mental patients to register on a nationwide list. Wilford speaks to reporter Tatenda Gumbo about the issue.
Coming up with a list, in my view, does not solve the problem that we are faced with. In my view, the judges, instead, they can play a role. When you're looking at the policy formulation, the judges, they play a key role. One, in interpreting the law itself, say, for instance, interpreting the meaning of any clause within a constitution, they're also looking at and they can use that as the judges to give sentences to to the offenders. So instead of them advocating for a list that is going to be circulated whichever way within our country, I would rather suggest that they enforce the law as it is. If it means an offender is supposed to be sentenced to 10 years, let the judges come up with a system that ensures that anyone who has been sentenced for those 10 years can serve those 10 years. Unlike a situation whereby we find someone that has been sentenced for 10 years, then within a month or within 2 months, you find that same person again within the community.
Are there many advocates who have been calling for what you're saying, the issue of stiffer sentences against sex offenders? Do you think that would assist in curbing the issue of sexual crimes against young people?
Yes, definitely. If we are to come up with stiffer sentences for those that are going to be committing these offenses, surely it will deter.
That was Jimmy Wilford, director of Say What, a student sexual and reproductive health organization.
Jessima Jome, MDCT member of parliament for Harare West, says the government has failed to implement key strategies that would assist in establishing frameworks to curb sexual crimes and gender-based violence.
I'm saying that if the government had implemented this strategy, the Honorable Justice Makonese, who I'm sure would not need to be calling for that database today, because that database would be clearly like a central component of the research and data gathering and monitoring evaluation key result area. It's the knowledge management around gender-based violence. Those who are experts at management of issues say you cannot know, you cannot manage something that you don't know. So if you know who it is in your country who is a pedophile or somebody who beats up their wife, if you have a database that's really central, you will know. And if you know how many there are, how often it happens, you'll be able to deal with it and catch those who do it and so on. But the government simply hasn't done so, and even the coordination issue. And it's a shame that the strategy has actually expired before there's an action plan. It's like everything's a talk shop.
Jessima Jome, MDCT Member of Parliament for Harare West, on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is deeply alarmed by reports, including those from the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, of serious human rights violations and abuses in Burundi, including eyewitness reports of mass graves, a sharp increase in alleged enforced disappearances and torture, and reports of sexual violence by security forces. U.S. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner said these and other reports further underscore the urgent need for the government of Burundi to allow for the immediate full deployment and unimpeded access of African Union human rights observers to investigate these allegations. It is imperative that the government of Burundi remove all bureaucratic and practical roadblocks it has used to prevent the AU human rights and military observers from fulfilling their mandate for the past 6 months to investigate reports of violence committed by any side in the conflict. The United States, said Mr. Toner, calls upon the government of Burundi to permit an immediate, impartial investigation into these recent allegations and to hold accountable all those found responsible for crimes. The United States remains concerned about Burundi's ongoing political and humanitarian crisis and the resulting suffering it has brought to the people of Burundi. We once again call on all parties to reject unlawful violence and reiterate that the only way to resolve the crisis gripping the country is for all parties to agree promptly to engage in internationally mediated, inclusive dialogue without preconditions.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our host of the Youth Connection, Mtungai Mili Nkomo and Tatenda Gumbo, will be talking with listeners and experts about calls for the setting up of a sex offenders register in Zimbabwe.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Civil society organizations support a move by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to adopt the use of the biometrics voter's roll.
Zimbabwe identifies key white commercial farmers in an effort to revive the subdued agriculture industry.
And Education USA urges Zimbabwean students to apply for American scholarships.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, putting you over to Chris Gande.
Remember to join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a very good night.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.